CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Puke has a nice connotation to it, and it shouldn't be just plain puke, it should be puke. You know, puke is good. I think puke is nice. Huh? Can you do that? Huh? You're going to get sick? Huh? Huh? Oh my God! He's gonna puke!
Get it! I'm acting. I'm acting like I'm sick. It's like you two are acting. You expect anybody, let alone me, to believe this crap?
Either he's acting or he's metagaming. I still haven't quite figured out all of Punk's agenda. Then again, I still haven't figured out all of the agendas that are going on in the WWE. And that's a good thing. Another good thing is being here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat on the CLW 83 network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and it seems I have a full house here tonight. First, we have the man who survived Irene with only a few cuts and bruises and no t-shirt. That would be Mr. Jim Williams.
But the t-shirt is available at Zazzle.com/Williamswear. Value shirt available at $14.99.
Facepalm.
Oops.
No. Well, it's
what?
Fine.
I need some money. Come on.
We could all use a little bit of cash. Let's see.
Exactly.
Let's see. Who else do I have at the table out here? Oh, yes. A man who I refuse to call Corpus Christi, but he's somewhere in Texas. That would be Mr. Typho.
After hearing the intro, I now kind of want to see CM Punk transition into some kind of promo on draws.
Oh, wow.
See, as to my number three, I seem to have gotten a surprise in fourth.
Yes, I feel good as I've taken part in three recent FAN Photoshop threads, so I at least have that going for me.
And overseeing some of the festivities tonight, our Chief High Muckamuck with CLW 83 Network, Mr. Carl Chenier.
Yeah, you had a problem with Irene, Jim. I'm going to have a problem with Lee.
Yes. Irene's bastard little sister, yes.
Now, speaking of storms, or stealing a cliche from last year, the winds of change are indeed blowing in the WWE. Our dear esteemed COO, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, came out Monday night and said that he was welcoming stars from SmackDown onto Raw, as also the Super SmackDown was allowing both brands to appear. Now, a couple of people are thinking, oh my God, the brand split's ending. But we still have the designation of Raw and SmackDown superstars. So, Typho, do you think that this is the start of the end of the brand split?
More or less, yeah. I think that basically it's probably just some kind of effort to take the few people that they think in their minds are over on SmackDown, put them on Raw, give that a little boost, and hopefully add a little revenue for some SmackDown shows in the future by getting them exposed on Raw. But I think I've said for at least the last 5 years that if there comes a time where the brand split either ends or is just relaxed to the point where no one cares, it's going to be a very bad thing because we're going to have two 2-hour shows a week with the same 6 to 8 people shoved down our throats constantly. And from the two shows this week, it looks like that's pretty much the case.
That's something that I was kind of scared of, but I think that at this juncture, it's being set up more for the fact that they're going to have to start competing with the new fall shows and Monday Night Football. So, Carl, do you think this might have been just more than just a ratings grab?
Pretty much. Because they know in the upcoming couple of months they're going to be losing a lot of people because of Monday Night Football.
Might also seem that they're getting the message about SmackDown. Even, you know, the fact that they did have everybody on and ran a live SmackDown on Tuesday, which actually pulled some of the highest ratings for that night with a 2.14. So, Jim, if I saw these kind of numbers, would it behoove me to go ahead and run SmackDown Live on Tuesday nights?
I say why not? You have to keep in mind also, Friday nights are also going to be affected by various things like college football and what have you, because college football is on virtually every night of the week, I think, except Tuesday, seemingly, Monday or Tuesday.
Well, Jim.
Well, when you have the games on Tuesday, it's usually between Doak Walker and Our Lady of the Blind and Deaf, if you will. It's a game nobody watches. See, I cleaned it up unlike O'Connor. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Well, that's what I'm getting at. Only the fans of those two schools will watch. You know, Friday, a lot of people are going out, what have you. I never was big on the fact that SmackDown was a Friday night show. I think if you, you know, condense it to Monday, Tuesday, it might be better and replay it on Friday if you so desire, for those who may have missed it. I would think the ratings have to be a little bit higher, though, to completely warrant that. If they get 2-3, 2-4-ish, then they've got to greenlight a live SmackDown permanently on Tuesdays. Because you mentioned it, they've gotten high numbers. They got a high number, a 2-1-4, you said,
yes.
For it. Very impressive for a first time out on a Tuesday night. Well, potentially first time out. But I got to say one thing. Drop the superlatives with the name of the show. When I saw Raw Super Show, when I think of Super Show, and probably this is my youth speaking, I think of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, ladies and gentlemen, and Super SmackDown, it's like, oh, it's, I expect a 3-hour show and it's, or something big's going to happen. It's like, oh, just call it what it is, folks.
I think the Super Shredder was on both shows.
Yes.
Actually, I'm not even going to say what I was thinking when I said Raw Super Show, because I will horribly, horribly date myself.
That bad,
okay.
Huh?
Let's just say I was expecting a musical number and a guy in a gobbledygooker costume introducing himself as Turkey. Everybody gets a cookie if they get that reference.
Oh, wow. Oh, Lordy.
I'll take the Dumpster Drozzy every day of the week.
Oh, my God.
Anybody get it?
I think I might have.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I want to guess.
Give Carl the cookie.
Carl, what am I referencing?
Something that we shouldn't know that we do know.
Send me an IM. Send me an IM, and I'll let you know if you're actually getting a cookie.
Okay.
Because if Carl knows it, then he is also thoroughly dating himself, and your secret will be safe with me, sir. Let's see. Conspicuous by his absence from both shows would be our WWE champion. Now, if you're going to have a Super Show and a Super SmackDown, you should have the man. You should have your WWE champion in place, but it appears, let's see, who didn't I pick on? Fourth, I don't think I picked on you. Del Rio got kind of caught up on a forced INS vacation, did he not?
I believe he did, yeah.
And here we go again, so I wonder if it was the same doofus who forgot to pay attention to was it Barrett and Drew that got caught with the visas?
It was Sheamus,
yeah.
I thought.
This was last. It was last year, I believe.
Sure, it was Barrett and McIntyre.
Okay. But despite all this, the intrigue has continued, especially at the very top of the card. John Cena doing whatever he wants to do. We're all watching the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, a very game as in limping Kevin Nash, and the ever armed and dangerous CM Punk.
Pipe bomb.
Yes, and he was lobbing some pretty good pipe bombs on SmackDown. Punk and Hunter had a hell of an exchange during the contract signing. Punk spent half of it metagaming, trying to second guess each and every one of Hunter's actions. Hunter has every right to be pissed at Punk for every jab he's made at Stephanie, for every jab he's made at the company that is currently employing him and putting him in the position he's in. So, with a little perspective on this, Jim, who are we supposed to cheer for here? Because in a way, Punk's right. In a way, Hunter's right.
I would lean with Punk. That's who I'm cheering for out of this. He makes him. He's a more compelling character. A lot of people liken Punk right now. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There are some who liken him to Austin back in the day, to a certain extent, being anti-disestablishmentarianism in its finest form. And, you know, the old guard being Triple H, sort of, kind of. I would side with Punk here just because, you know, I think he's cutting better promos. I mean, no knock on the evil doc. He's doing his thing, too. But he's keeping this story fresh. He's bringing more to the table, and you know, yeah, Triple H is fighting is matching him, you know, lash for lash. But it's Punk keeping this interesting. The one thing that just besides, it seems like we're going to see a Triple H potential heel turn here, or something along those lines with the Kevin Nash part of it. But it's easy to understand why the crowd's pretty much split in liking both parties.
Punk essentially, you know, putting his fist down. And Jim, you're right. Well, a lot of people are going to lean towards Punk because he's saying a lot of what the IWC at all three levels, the rational conversationalists, the guys who have their favorites, and even the knee-jerkers are understanding Punk's message. I want change. I want everybody to be able to tune in and enjoy the show. Well, who wouldn't? The trick is, you know, is, and Punk even made the point, though, yeah, I'm doing this for me. So he's trying to stay heel, but he's not trying very hard, is he, Carl?
I don't believe so, no.
So, now, you know, not necessarily forgotten in all this is Kevin Nash, who unfortunately has not been up to par with his mic work, and even less so physically, but we knew that he wasn't going to be 100%. Typho, did you see the news bit about why they turned Nash down medically?
Yeah, I did. Apparently, when he went to do his physicals and all that, like a week ago or whatever, they found something that they will not clear him to wrestle for. And of the thing that I saw, they said basically, if this was a few years ago, he would be in the ring, no problem. But as of now, it's something they won't clear him for, but they also said it's something that in the relatively near future, he will probably end up being cleared, and it will be a non-issue. So it's apparently not anything amazingly serious or anything like that. Whatever it is.
Now, I didn't want to speculate because, unfortunately, I wouldn't be very nice and probably make a comment along the lines of, I wonder if it itches.
When what he does down at his summer home in the Fire Island is not up to us.
So wait a minute. When you put Just for Men down there, it makes you itch? Oh!
Oh! Oh. That's Jim Williams' Care of Glyph.
No. Well, we got something else that might clear that up. Here's a button.
Oh, baby oil!
Oh! Actually, I was going to go with lard, but okay.
Okay, let's see. I have a random caller in. Do I risk it, guys?
Let me see.
That's America, why not?
Is it Scott Hall again?
I know.
No, I'm not sure who that is, but be patient. We might talk to you.
And if you're a prank caller, make it count.
Yes.
Now let's see what happens. I'm a little scared, but I'll take the chance.
They got your back.
Okay.
All right. Area code 607. Hello. You're on the air. Much to my chagrin.
And goodbye. Okay. That was.
It is Scott Hall. He passed out.
No, that was very easy.
There you go.
I'm gonna throw this out to all of you guys. To be honest, when Hunter originally booked CM Punk and Kevin Nash, that really didn't stir any interest for me in Night of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
But when Hunter turned around near the end of the show and took Nash out and put himself in Nash's place, now you have my attention. And bias of the evil doc aside, I really think those two would put on a better match. Anybody, you know, thoughts?
I don't deny they would put on a better match, but I'm going to be honest, I don't want to see Trips in the ring just yet. I'd rather see him come back at a bigger event. You know, Night of Champions might be the, and you've talked about this before in the past, the quasi-fifth tier pay-per-view compared to the Big Four. But I think he would be better served at a Survivor Series or Royal Rumble cameo wrestling match, or obviously WrestleMania in a perfect world. I just don't think it's a good idea to have him coming out and wrestling immediately. I personally don't. I know why they had to do it. It's the only option they really had. I'm not still a big fan of it, though.
And
here's my
thought. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, I'll take Triple H on a pay-per-view any day over Kevin Nash, who can barely walk in the damn ring to begin with.
Well, granted, yeah.
Hell, got my interest peaked just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, I'm interested too, but it just feels too hot-shotted. You know, just right away to go with the big match, at least wait until bragging rights, but it just feels a little too early.
Well,
I mean, there's also the belief that this was going to lead up, according to some, to a match at Survivor Series after, you know, Punk would have conceivably traded barbs either at one or two pay-per-views with Kevin Nash, it would lead up to the match with Triple H. So that's a little bit of a possible buzzkill, too. A little bit. I mean, I'm not knocking it's going to be a good match. It's going to be a good match. These two can put on a quality show. We know what Punk can do. We know what Trips can do. They're going to put on a quality show, but I'm just saying to myself, if it was at a bigger moment, if it was at a bigger event, it would be that much more memorable.
comment from the chat room. It might have been more for Kevin Nash's safety, since he'd probably get hurt if you looked at him funny.
Click, click,
click,
click.
Which
I think saving Punk Triple H for farther down the line would have been a better decision instead of just throwing it out right now, because I think they could have used this to elevate somebody else. And they've gone into a little side angle where Punk, in his numerous rantings, goes off on Triple H and how Triple H has his guys in the company and stuff like that, and maybe use that to actually go dig up Drew McIntyre and put him in something.
Something meaningful, yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's a few people that need to get their butts back on TV. And as you mentioned, Typho, if we keep going with this potential Super Show format where we're going to get guys from both shows on Raw, guys from both shows on SmackDown, we're just going to have a lot more people disappearing and
get cut.
Kurt Hawkins and Tyler Rex's holes just get deeper.
And woo woo woo.
Well, Ryder kind of saved himself. Unfortunately, it wasn't caught on a WWE camera. It ended up on Z, him getting RKO'd.
By the way, happy birthday, Stanford. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, no, that's fine.
National holiday. Scott Stanford's birthday.
National holiday.
Well, New York at least.
Maybe, that could have been
Jason. Shot.
Shoot. Is it error code 607? Is that Scott Stanford's neck of the woods by any chance?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why, are they still on the switchboard?
No, I was hoping if you're out there 607, call back.
You're thinking 212-718, something like that.
So. I think that's an essential part of the state.
Don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Yellow pages, let us know.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, Carl, your answers are still wrong, and actually, Seidelman, who was talking...
I gave up.
No, you're fine. Seidelman in another I am, it actually got the cookie. I'm still not going to say it on the show.
Okay.
All right.
So,
well,
let me think. What else? What other nonsense did we get to see this week?
One guy kill his career twice.
We're getting there.
That's
We're
a part
getting,
two.
That's coming up after the break in a little bit. Yeah,
that's an entire half-hour devotion there.
Yeah.
But getting back to Punk and Triple H for a moment. Just the fact that, yes, Hunter seems to be hot-shotted into this, but they kind of, I hate to say it, they kind of painted themselves into a corner at this point. Unless they wanted to pull somebody random out, would it have
and
felt?
And here's your mystery opponent, the Great Khali. What the hell? Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
No, this just wouldn't, I hate to say it, they had painted themselves into a corner. And Hunter knows that he's just going to step out there and make a mess of things.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Honestly, this is the first step. Yes.
Well, Hunter, but Hunter did have a good point in his part of the promo, the fact that he has essentially given Punk everything that he has asked for coming back into the company. The fact that, Punk's got Cult of Personality to come out to. The fact that Punk got, has a T-shirt that's sold out four times over. The fact that, the way the storyline was written, the fact that he was trying to hand Punk Kevin Nash on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm.
And Punk just continues to press buttons. But that seems to be in the Punk of Personality.
Uh-huh.
Or am I misinterpreting?
I think you're pretty spot on there. I think you're pretty spot on with the analysis.
Hey, 607 called back. Let's see who this is.
Hello?
Hello, 607. Who's this?
My name is Ed. I was just calling. I didn't realize I was calling. I'm checking out your website, and I believe is it Jim Williams there?
Yes, he is.
This is him. Yes.
Hello, Jim. This is your cousin Ed.
My cousin Eddie Moskowitz. Hey, cuz, how you doing, bro?
What's going on?
Not bad. Not much. Now, Eddie, by the way, let me just out him. Not just is he my cousin, he is a hardcore wrestling fan from back in the day and in the present now, I assume, right, Eddie?
Well, I haven't been really paying much attention. I mean, I usually check on the websites. I don't know when's the last time that I watched it, but I know I've been listening to his, and I've been following a little bit with, you know, the Kevin Nash, Triple H, and CM Punk thing. So
yeah, it's a good storyline. Anything with Punk right now is a good storyline, if you ask me. Let me also be said, Eddie is a Scott Hallmark, for lack of better terms.
Because I didn't realize I was on the phone, and then I heard, who was that? That said Scott Hall passed out. I started laughing.
Oh, that wasn't me. That was that fourth or was that Typho? I wasn't sure.
I wanted to call in again to say, hey, yo, I'm up.
Right, well, it was either that it would have been the first time that we would have, that the North American Wrestling Connection had been butt dialed.
I'm listening, and I just, you know, I'm listening to you guys, and I mean, I was going to ask when you start talking about TNA, I was going to say, you know, what do you guys think about Jeff Hardy returning?
The normal Hardy.
How odd is that? He's the normal one now.
Ed, actually, we might have to touch on that in the second half of the show.
Okay. So.
Which I have definitely dedicated to that part of the family.
Yeah.
Since we're still going back and forth about the whole deal with, you know, Punk, Hunter, and Nash. There really weren't too many other options of people to throw at Punk.
What are you looking at?
You're retired.
Well played.
But for the record, I threw this in there for a reason. Storyline wise, and you guys are welcome to pick on me for this, I honestly think that Hunter and Nash are not in cahoots. And they did something very subtle Monday night that gives me that suggestion. As we all heard, Kevin Nash comes out to the NWO music.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the big argument in the ring with him and Hunter and Punk ended with Hunter making a very stern DX reference. To this, just a little thing to point out, Nash, while while a member of the Click, was never in DX. Hunter, despite the open invitation in 2002, did not join the NWO.
Well, died before he could. Right?
Well, I mean, that could have been, you know, if they wanted to turn him heel a little sooner, they could have used him potentially to revive the NWO back in 2002. But the fact that these two factions do not, you know, the only person who was actually in both is not even involved.
What are you looking at?
Sit down.
Sit down. Get back in Texas and go hunt something. Yeah.
What about Xbox?
Hey, Xbox does not count. I refuse to count Xbox.
What's going on with Xbox? Now, supposedly what I heard, he's doing something with the WWE. What, a talent scout or something?
He's supposedly working in talent development, which means he's down there in FCW doing Steve Cairns' job.
Okay.
Especially since Steve doesn't know what the bloody heck he's doing except using the Randy Orton cloning machine, which broke down about a year ago.
Should be doing Johnny Ace's job.
Oh,
well,
I gotta
tell you one thing that I don't know when the last time I went to a wrestling signing, but I met him. And he was the nicest guy. He was nice. He shook my hand. Oh, thanks a lot for coming out. I appreciate it. You know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was, like, really nice. It's not one of those usual, you know, you have a picture or whatever to get signed. Boom, they sign it. Boom, okay, bye. You know what I mean? He actually, like, you know, I thought he was very nice.
He's cordial. Okay, cool.
I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I'm not a fan. I'm not a big fan of X-Pac, you know, Waltman there.
Right.
He's, like, copying off of Scott Hall now, what, with the X-Pac show?
Mm-hmm.
He got the last call with Scott Hall. Well, I don't know if it's last time Scott Hall did a last call, but anyway.
Yeah, he's been on another kind of last call as of late, if you know what I mean. Yes.
Mm.
It was there, sorry.
I saw a video on YouTube with Scott Hall. It was before the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was some, I forgot what promotion. He comes out and he was messed up. He was totally messed up.
No, I remember we discussed that, and it's just a shame that people, you know, that wrestling companies would allow somebody like that to work messed up, or maybe they just hire him for the sake of the spectacle. Oh.
Uh-oh. I hope the GM doesn't hate my cousin. That's all I'm hoping for there.
No. The Raw GM's never that bad. But
the NAWC general manager, that's a different story.
Well, this is different. He actually sent me an email with an attachment.
Oh no.
With cookies in it, yeah.
Yeah, the digital, yes.
Let's see. Forward the cookies to Robert Q. Seidelman for getting your trivia answer right. However, the attachment here is a subpoena to all members of the NAWC who have chosen to attend the show tonight. For after the commercial break, we are going to put on trial a Mr. Matthew Moore Hardy regarding his actions in the last 10 days.
Hmm.
So, gentlemen, I suggest you get your legal eagle hats out. Sounds like we've got something very serious to discuss.
Let me go put my tie on. Get Daniel Bryan out of here.
And
you know how to tie a tie? That's the question, because he can't. So.
I'll defer all questions to my counsel, Mr. Clarence Mason.
And I will probably be doing my best Phoenix Wright. So once I find our mid-show stuff, and we get that taken care of, then we will thoroughly discuss this entire issue.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat. Well, I have to hit you again.
On the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
By God, ladies and gentlemen, do I have a wonderful discovery for you. Check out this, the CLW 83 Night Shift. You get conversations with eBay power seller Dana Crawford. From the Webmaster's Corner, Tyler Brown, you get all the latest BTR listings. And you also get Robert Settleman talking to people in Olympia, Washington. How much would you pay for this? $100? $500? $1,000? If you'd like to, you can. But for you, it's not worth a damn thing. Listen to it for free. I've gone mad with power!
The CLW 83 Night Shift. New special Saturday, September 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
that's actually going to be a very boring show this week. But wait.
How you doing tonight, Al?
Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN show.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez. Mute Mama Seidelman.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap.
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You win the internet, sir! You win the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Klaus? Anyway.
No, that's a ding. That's a ding, actually.
Stop. One more time.
Okay, it's coming.
The mayonnaise is coming through the bun.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's Bowser.
Well, to be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere saluting us with her pickles and ice cream going, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
The noodles. Chris likes you, Benoodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yes,
don't fight.
Good girl.
Don't body.
Talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. Then. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want him, fine, you know.
And Justin Tuck.
Oh, mother. Oh, come
Mother
on.
Tucker. Oh, Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker. We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is going to be like a good championship boxing match. You're not going to see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are going to be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in. It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
And we are back with a full house. And a great deal of very serious discussion going down here. So, as wrestling fans, as we all know, we had a rather tense situation over a few days ago, starting with a cryptic video that was released that seemed to be a topper to a few other things that had been happening to a Mr. Matthew Moore Hardy. Now, who here saw that video? Because I did not. I honestly did not, and was just going off the rash of crazy news. Oh my God, Matt Hardy is going to commit suicide.
I saw it before the news site even got it.
I heard about it.
So, Typho, you said you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it, like, I think it had been posted about 45 seconds before I saw it.
Okay. Give me your impression of it, because, like I said, honestly, I just got caught up in the wave of, oh my God, Matt Hardy's going to kill himself.
When I watched it, read it, I mean, this was Tuesday, I was like 10 minutes into doing, like, prep for my own show, and I saw this pop up, I watched it, my first thought was, is he serious, or is this another one of part of his rebirth series of his character? So, basically, I saw it for what I thought it was another attempt at attention for himself. So I went through my entire show right after that and did not mention his name one time. I did not take it for what it appeared to be.
Okay. Carl, I believe we were in a conference call when this first started blowing up.
Yeah, we were doing something else for the network. My first initial reaction was, okay, is he serious or is he working people over like usual?
Okay.
And we wrapped our heads around it while we were trying to finish said project we were doing.
True. Anybody else here see the video?
I did not.
Okay.
Only read about it, didn't see it.
Okay.
I wanted to see it, but then YouTube took it off.
Well, apparently because I don't know if it was the fact that the negative backlash was already starting because essentially Matt dropped off of Twitter at this point and the news sites were starting to get word out, you know, if you have any way of getting, you know, getting a call into Cameron to the police department, have, you know, please take this seriously, you know, a notice like this should be taken seriously every single time.
I can vouch wholeheartedly. Brett was, Brett Clendaniel with WrestleChat, he was literally trying to tweet, and he actually did make a call looking for the number to the Cameron County police office and what have you. And he was tweeting to Jim Ross and various others about the matter. So, I mean, he took it seriously. Some people did, is what it is.
So, it turns out that about 24 calls did get through to the Cameron Police Department, which, honestly, I thought was a very low number after an incident a couple years ago when Matt was first experimenting with Twitter. And yes, I'm using this term deliberately. When him and Shane Helms and a couple other people were at a BW3s or something like that, they tweeted the number. And hundreds of fans started calling the restaurant wanting to talk to them, to the point that the manager had all the phones unplugged. I honestly expected something like that to overload the circuits of the Cameron Police Department and somebody getting in trouble for that. What followed from there is Beth Britt, I guess her name is, had chimed in with a tweet essentially saying, when a prank gets the police involved, you've gone too far. Because apparently addresses got mixed up, cops showed up at Jeff's house, as well as wherever Matt was.
They heard Hardy and were like, well, this is our usual stop.
They say to Jeff hide his stuff. Oh my God, the cops are here.
Sad but true, yeah.
Yeah.
So from there, you know, it just kind of spiraled out of control. And the response from Matt Hardy, I think the following morning, was something along the lines of, no, this was for whatever. This was for my rebirth for whatever. And at that point, the whole world, as far as I could tell, had turned against Matt Hardy. I will admit that even, you know, I put my foot down too. You guys saw my comment. I was definitely not amused what a lot of people saw as an enormous cry for help. What a lot of people saw as a guy who, you got to realize, almost got himself killed in a car accident. Regardless the fact that he, you know, on top of this, getting arrested for a DWI. On top of that, he gets fired from his job. I wouldn't be thinking too terribly straight either if all this happened to me in the stretch of a few days. And that's kind of why I'm throwing this at you, Jim, and at you, Carl, because you guys have been through some very rough times over the last year or so. I haven't had it all that great either until very recently. We've got to take these...
Ew.
Go ahead, Ed.
No, I'm just saying, hey, I'm part of the club too, you know? I mean, you don't know. I mean, I had a bad too. Jim knows.
It's been
6 years that my wife passed away, so, and I'm still trying to, you know, I'm still trying to get my life in order.
Okay, now... So you've got a guy who unfortunately just has way too much internet access, and I will agree with you on with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
no doubt.
Given what we have seen in the wrestling world, and I will cite other individuals, Chris Kanyon, Test, Larry Sweeney, among others, who have taken their lives, whether seeming by accident or on purpose, with and without a note, how else are we supposed to respond to this video?
You have to take this seriously. There's no two ways around it. That being said, once somebody is labeled an attention whore, it's very difficult, extremely difficult, to rip that label off them. And Matt, for lack of better terms, partially by guilt by association, and partially from his own undoings, is an attention whore, whether it be with the YouTube shows, whether it be with the various things on Twitter. His stupid acts and his stupider comments after stupider said stupid acts, like, you know, running himself into a tree in a Corvette, and then he's like, wow, this was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, for lack of better words. I mean, things aren't clicking upstairs. That's the God's honest truth, and you don't need a brain surgeon to figure that one out. But, ultimately, and this is not me trying to be insensitive, he's going to kill himself, I fear. I fear he's going to, bite the hand that feeds him one too many times, and he'll be gone from this earth. Because it just seems like he doesn't really, in combination of he doesn't care and he doesn't want to get help. You have to take anything like this seriously. He put the time and the effort together to put this together. Whether it be for a gimmick thing about the next phase of his life, whether it be about his wrestling career, what have you, you have to take this seriously. It's an inadvertent cry for help.
Now, with that, and now all that in place,
mm-hmm.
He recently posted, and I watched about two-thirds of, a video apology. Yes, this is more attention-whoring, but this one I'm giving a pass in the fact that he has a lot of people to apologize to. Because the fact that in this internet age, with so many people that you can reach, Matt had to reach to the same people that he scared the shit out of 3 days ago and at least attempt to mend the fence. And you got it. I give him points for the attempt. It wasn't like he was going to post a blog somewhere that only maybe a quarter of those fans were going to read it. Because unfortunately, I don't want to typecast people, but I think that most of Matt's fan base is very visual oriented and would only get it from Matt if he did it in a video.
Visual spatial, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was also another note here that Jason just sent over to me. Let's see. And I'll go ahead and read this.
Mm-hmm.
The YouTube video referring to what everybody construed as a suicide note was not in any way a suicide note. No words such as death, suicide, kill, heaven, or hell were included. I wanted to see people's optimism or pessimism towards my words. Okay, Matt, I'm sorry, but that's bullshit. I hate this. I'm gonna call him on that.
When you put your birthday and your death day on something, put one and one together. Or your presumed death date, shall we say.
Right. If you were going to talk about the death of your career, you use the date of your first match. You don't use your birthday.
Right.
First mistake.
I'm
probably missing something here. I mean, like, what made him snap? What made him, I mean, what is this? I mean, how do we really know if it's true, or, like you said, I mean, it could be, I mean, it could be bullshit. I mean, it could be, you know, to get the attention.
Well, like we've been saying, Eddie, it's kind of a multitude of things that could be leading up to this. It could be the firing, it could be the accident, it could be dealing with his brother and his zany ways and what have you, and not having stability in his life. It could be a lot of things, some things we don't even know, quite frankly.
And again, I mean, how straight would you be thinking if you wrecked your car, got arrested,
right,
and lost your job in the span of about 72 hours?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I understand. I'd be pretty screwed up, I guess, myself, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm trying to, you know, get back into it and trying to follow. And like I said, it was just recently,
right,
I heard about the videos, and I tried looking it up, video off, and I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on? And I heard about the DUIs, and I heard that, you know, he got fired from CNA. And I'm like, well, what the hell? He just started.
True. He hadn't been there long either, so.
Something else, yeah.
Well, on top of all this, in the apology video, he made a comment that between the car accident and apparently some other incidents, because he cited four accidents, the car accident and the fall in the house, whatever happened with that, are the only ones we know about.
Right.
But he's citing two more that he says he won't talk about, which, again, could be a grab for attention, could be something legally, you know, something that's going to be tied up and legal on its own. We don't know, and it might not even be relevant at this point. He has commented, however, that since he has the minor defect of the fact that he's bow-legged, or Jimmy legs, as he likes to call it.
Screwed up back, yeah.
Yeah, it's screwed up his back, which, of course, his back is also screwed up for the fact that he's been falling off of things for 20 years.
No, that's true.
Let me make a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, and the fact that he made the announcement that it looked like he was going to have to retire, and he says this with a lot of emphasis as a full-time professional wrestler. Red flag?
I would say,
yeah,
at least a little bit, yeah.
Okay, Jim, you were going to make a point?
I was going to make a parallel, because this kind of reminds me of somebody from the entertainment business, and Carl may know where I'm going with this, a certain game show host who committed suicide,
yes,
back in 1996, Ray Combs. When Ray Combs lost his job with Family Feud, his life spiraled downward. He was in a car accident that screwed his back up severely, having to be on medicine out of, like it was nobody's business. He had a business venture, a comedy club that he owned, Caddy Combs, I believe it was called, in your backyard in Ohio, Nicky, your old back stomping grounds. And
okay,
that folded, and he had one more TV gig, but it was nowhere near as lucrative as being the host of Family Feud. Before much longer, he had to check himself in. He was not mentally stable and, you know, lost his wife as well in the process, and he just couldn't mentally move on. I fear, in a parallel kind of move, that Matt could be in that situation. Or Matt could just be playing this just to say, look at me, I'm not Jeff, look at me, I could do zany things too. It's either one or the other, as far as I'm concerned, but neither is healthy.
And the nicest of comments that I saw, I followed the fan board's roller coaster of this, which I believe is up to almost 40 pages.
Wow.
Of just general commentary and discussion regarding what he's doing. The nicest thing that was being said was, Matt, get help. Whether you're just grabbing for attention or not, you need help.
Yeah,
no doubt.
True. No matter what, yeah. You're right.
And unfortunately, I'm worried that he might be in the same level of denial that Jeff is in.
I'm almost convinced he is. I really... They don't know any better. Neither of them know any better. They don't know right from wrong. Or if they do know it, they suppress that knowledge. And ultimately, one or both of them are going to go down a slippery slope one too many times, and it's going to bite them. It's going to bite them in the backside, and we will have lost them. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm just looking at trends and what other people in those kind of situations do. Ultimately, this isn't a wrestling story. This is a human interest story. That's what this has become. Because you deal with the cards you're given in life. I mean, you mentioned hard times some of us have gone through. Publicly, you guys know, lost my father over 6 months ago. Haven't been the same person since. I've had many more good days than bad days, though, because I try to channel my energies towards different things. Obviously, Matt can't channel his energies, and when he does, he channels them for things that are, you know, reckless to himself and to others. You talk about the car crash. God forbid there were other people on the road. He could have killed somebody. I mean, he's endangering not just himself, but mere strangers at this point. And the same with Jeff.
And this is the saddest part about it. Just the fact that, you know, unfortunately, it's almost a consequence of their own fame. These are guys that essentially went into the wrestling business straight out of high school, through Omega, into the Fed, where they were enormously, outrageously successful. So this is all they know. And Matt is teetering on a very bad precipice, because if what he says is true, it's being taken away from him. And Jeff is in a similar situation, but his problems are legal and not physical. But in both cases, makes you mental.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, we all agree that Matt's a little screwed up in the head.
Understatement of the show.
Yes. I was about to say that.
I'm trying to be polite here because we have presented Matt Hardy to the court of public opinion, even though Matt is so good at doing this on his own.
Right.
It was discussed among the members of the NAWC earlier, but the GM of the show has essentially left us with a simple task. Does Matt Hardy, given the situation that has developed, the consequences of his actions, what he has gone through physically, emotionally, and mentally over this last week and a half, and how he has somehow dragged a bunch of us into the middle of it all, is he destined for Room 101?
Room 101, for those who are new, the purgatory for things that never shall be spoken of on the show again.
Essentially, Ed, Room 101 is where we put the worst of pro wrestling. This isn't wrestle crap. This is wrestle shit.
Okay. All right. Thank you for putting it in layman's terms so nicely, Nikki.
So,
straight out.
It's pretty much that simple, because wrestle crap talks about the funny and goofy and stupid stuff. We're talking so bad it's awful stuff.
Okay.
In Keith Trope's terms. So, to this, I'm going to go around the table. Jim, I will start with you. Do we put Matt Hardy in Room 101?
Tough call, because he's become an attention whore, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this: until I would put him in with one reprieve.
Okay.
And that reprieve is this: if he gets help, and the help actually seems to be working, we give him a possible reprieve.
Okay.
That's the only way I could see him going in there.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Typho?
I would say
As of right now, yeah, probably deserves to be in there, but I mean, it can be avoided. Like, if he does get help, I mean, if he can turn things around, I think easily a couple months down the road, this could all be nearly forgotten if he does the right things.
Okay. Fourth.
I will say two things. First, it takes a lot to overshadow the Victory Road main event, and he certainly did that very easily. And I do think he should, but as the others have said so far, if he gets some help, if he gets himself in check, then you know, we kind of let him out. But otherwise, we probably, based on the last few days, yeah.
Okay, Carl?
How do I put it this way? Get the help. Yes, give it a reprieve. For now, yes, throw him in there and lock the door.
And Ed, congratulations. You will be the first non-NAWCer to weigh in on this.
Yes.
I agree. He's got to get the help. He gets the help, you know, things will turn around for him. I mean, if he doesn't get the help, of course, it's going to be the same, you know, bullshit, you know? So, I mean, yeah, I say throw him in the room, lock him in there for a little bit, you know? Let him get the help. Hopefully he gets the help. I mean, I would like to see him, you know, back in the ring again. You know, I mean, like I said, I mean, like I agree with the other guys, you know, he's got to get help. Straight out. I mean, if he's being real with this or he's bullshitting, you know what I mean? He needs help. There's something wrong.
Yeah.
There's definitely something wrong.
Okay. I hate to say it. I'm horribly outvoted here. Because I was willing to give him a pass because he has attempted the apology. But, especially from the opinion of somebody who has been locked in room 101 and was graciously released, that would be you, Forth, you guys are right. Matt Hardy needs to take account for himself. There needs to be some accountability for it. And the apology is not enough. And I've said this enough to companies that I get mad at. You can say sorry all you want. That hasn't fixed the problem.
Right.
An apology is not fixing my problem. We need action. So, Matt, I'm sorry, man. But as it's been said on the show, if he gets the help he needs and he starts coming back around to being the sane brother, yes, we will let him out.
That's what it comes down to. And I'm not saying, ooh, he needs to go see Dr. Drew. That might be the worst freaking thing for him, considering he'd be put in. No, I mean, because for lack of better terms, he's that list of celebrity now. Where he's seen on TMZ, like, every other day now, seemingly. And that would be a Dr. Drew case study for a VH1 show, and thus he would have even more problems. He would turn into the next Jeff Conaway, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some sort of private help. Something, you know, remote. Something as far away from the land of television, the land of wrestling as possible. And I mentioned this to a friend of mine who's not really into wrestling too much. We talked about this earlier today, matter of fact.
Okay.
This could go back once again to Vince McMahon stepping up to the plate. We've talked about enough times how Vince McMahon and the WWE over the years, one of the stories nobody talks about, and Jason always champions this story, the fact that he'll offer any of his former employees, even those who are in TNA or other organizations, if they're under, like, substance abuse or what have you, She'll foot the bill if they want the help. They have to want the help. I mean, Tony Atlas is a great case study. You know, I'm not saying this is substance abuse. It could be. It could be a lot of different things. It could be just psychiatric help. One wonders if they'll step up, or if they haven't already, and then the Hardys have refused. So,
well, I know that Jeff in the past has refused rehab, and that's how he ended up losing his WWE job back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, if indeed we're at the point, you know, we're at the point where, you know, maybe Matt would actually accept the assistance, because we know that TNA is not going to do it, mainly because they're expecting Vince to help.
Because mm-hmm.
wasn't there something to that a couple of weeks ago that you know TNA wasn't going to step up because if it was a former WWE star, they can always go to Vince for help.
That seems about right.
So, Jeff may end up with rehab whether he likes it or not. But, you know, both of these guys need some serious, serious help.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, somebody mentioned that Ed, you were the one who was looking in to see if we were going to talk about Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, they ran a vignette for Jeff this week, and I believe that he cut a promo set up for the September 8th Impact, which I have not read any spoilers, so I would need some help with this.
Okay.
Right. Anybody, was there enough detail in the spoilers to talk about, you know, what Jeff talked about?
Not the ones that I saw, no.
Okay. Let's see. Because apparently they're still, the TNA fan base is still interested in the Hardys. As TNA got a ratings bump last week after Jeff tweeted about his return, although this week they dropped back down into status quo, barely breaking one. And we'll probably bounce up to a 1-2-1-3 with Jeff Hardy's promo on next week's Impact. But, you know, frankly, both of them need to be off TV and need to be talking to somebody.
And away from internet access.
Well, yeah. That's been a general consensus that they both need their internet privileges revoked.
I still don't know how Jeff's with the company. I got to be honest. I still don't see why Jeff's with TNA, considering all the baggage he has, for goodness sakes. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. He brings nothing to the company, and, you know, any other well-run company, after what he did at Victory Road, after that pay-per-view match, and I have to use the finger quotes and say match with Sting.
No.
That's fireable.
He should have been fired right after that show. I agree. That's why it didn't make any sense to me. And I wonder if that bent Matt's brain even harder.
Yeah,
that he got
did.
Treated harsher for a DWI when his brother, on the same day that they're going to air his promo, he's going to be sentenced, whether it's jail or rehab. I'm kind of hoping the former, which will inadvertently invoke the latter, hopefully.
Right.
Thank
you.
I that would bend my brain even harder. Because, mm-hmm. granted, neither of what these guys did is condonable, excusable, whatever. But mm-hmm. on that sliding scale, Jeff's whole situation is a whole lot worse than Matt's, because at the end of the day, the only person Matt really hurt was himself. Jeff had apparently had enough stuff in his house to be helping out half of the TNA roster. If I recall correctly, because this case has been dragging on so long, I'm sure Jeff forgot what he was on when he got arrested.
Literally.
Yeah, it seems so long ago. Like, huh?
Well we're talking...
It literally goes back years.
Yeah, we're going back 2 years. Because Jeff left the Fed after SummerSlam 09, was arrested within the month, and his case has been languishing in legal hell ever since. Mm-hmm. Over stupid crap. Now that he's pled guilty, they still can't seem to get everything straightened out to at least get his sentencing done. And I'm hoping that next week's show, I'm going to be talking about that sentencing.
You can only hope.
And I don't want to sound insensitive. I don't want to sound insensitive, but frankly, I hope he gets some serious jail time and mandatory rehab.
After the number of delays this whole thing is going on, he better.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing I'm worried about, though. This has been delayed so much, they might just say time served.
They probably would. That's sad. That's a fair point.
So, you know, at the end of the day, that's just, you know, unfortunately, that kind of treatment, the disproportionate treatment of the Hardys is yet another reason why my TV doesn't get turned on Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't agree with a lot of things TNA does, and this is just another piece on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So... Well, gentlemen, I didn't mean to dominate the last few minutes here, and we've had quite a crowded table.
No big deal.
Fourth, are you even still with us?
I'm still here.
So, you know, I really appreciate everybody chiming in on this and giving an honest opinion. I just, you know. Like I said, I was willing to give Matt another chance, but you guys are right. He needs help first. He doesn't need chances. He needs assistance.
Give him the help first.
Yep. Well, I mean, we've seen this with Jeff, though, enough times. He's been given chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, and he's abused every single one of them. That's mm-hmm. all he knows to do. And eventually, you know, by dumb luck or by, you know, watching somebody do such enough times that they're infallible, you're going to act that way too. So as such, there's where Matt is.
Which is funny because Matt's the older brother.
Yeah, well, with age doesn't necessarily come wisdom sometimes.
I realize that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's usually the other way around. The older
right.
sibling is acting stupid, so the younger sibling's going to jump right in.
Right.
It didn't work that way in my household. I watched my sister act really, really stupid, and I just knew not to do those stupid things.
There you go.
Then again, I also spoke up about a lot of the stupid things that she did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm trying not to call myself a tattletale.
I'm telling. Yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. I wouldn't even do that. I would just go. I would just watch what happens and go see my folks and go sit in my room and watch the fireworks.
There you go.
Exactly. Sometimes being the spectator is the best part. Yes.
So, all right, gentlemen. I think we've beaten this dead horse into the ground.
We've had our psychology class for the evening,
and, yep. As well as our legal brief.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carl, I think we better give this to you so that you can at least do something with it.
Yes.
Yes.
Take it home.
Don't mind if I do. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for sticking around. Ed, it was great having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, no, I did. when's the next show?
next Friday night, 10 Central.
Yeah. We're
all
on
right,
here every Friday night, 11 to midnight.
11 Easter. To midnight? All right. Well, I'll make
Give
sure
a listen
I'll,
on.
I'll try to be more prepared.
No, give a listen. blogtalkradio.com/CLW83network. You don't have to call in to listen, but, you know, hey, it's all good.
All right, cool. Awesome.
So, gentlemen, I think we've had a good time tonight. Thank you for joining us. And, yes, we're going to do this again next week, as always.
We'll try to do it better the next time, too. Yeah.
Oh, we will. Don't worry about that. So, good fight, and good night, everyone.
All right, good night. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.